Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
You guys be cool. Absolutely, absolutely. What's happening, everybody? This is Wardell Potts, GM for Solar Records Radio. And man, oh man, are we trying to have a good time with you here on Solar Records Radio. And my boy, oh my goodness, what is that? Johnny Kemp just got paid. It is it's Thursday night here, though. But anyway, well, how you guys doing? I hope all is well. You guys are good, and God is being with you and blessing you and keeping you. This is so exciting for me. Every Thursday, we get the chance to go down memory lane together here on Solar Records Radio, which you guys know I really, really love, right? I really love it. Anyway, so I just want to give a shout-out to all my friends around the globe. Much love to all you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. And please tell a friend about Solar Records Radio as we hook up with people around the globe. It's an amazing relationship that we find ourselves in with different people around the world. So, you know, please tell them to join our group, Solar Records Radio group page on Facebook, and, you know, and or go to solarrecordsradio.com and, you know, and leave us a message or whatever the case is, just to get familiar with what we are and who we are and what we're doing. All right. We are a Christian-based station, and we love all kind of music. We play all kind of music. We are very respectful, and we just play good music, and we just enjoy each other. And so that's what basically what we're about here, Solar Records Radio. So I just want to say thank you guys so much for just, you know, giving us this time. Your time is important to us. And if you ever miss any of our shows, you can go to the archives. I mean, the shows are up there forever, right? So you can just check out some of the interviews that we do with some of these great artists, and also, you know, just whatever it is that's happening and stuff, whatever we're doing. So much love, and I hope everybody's good. Y'all heard about my new book, right? Y'all know about my new book, right? I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys. If you went and bought my book, you can go to solarrecordsradio.com and go into the store. And my book is really about children. It's about following your dreams, no matter what your dream is. You know, and I was just sharing about my dream and how dreams do come true, and how I got blessed because I have family who loved me through the storm and blessed me to the point that even when I was ready to give up, they were like, no, this is what you've been wanting. This is what you've been fighting for. So just hang in there. And, you know, me listening to them and their great advice really blessed me and got me started with the Whispers and Shalimar and Dynasty and on and on and on. It just kept taking off. And so I'm just saying it can happen to anyone in anything. But the most important thing is to have someone who loves you and supports, you know, these kids. They need it. It's important to us. I didn't realize how important it was until I got older, and I would look back and go, thank you, God. Thank you for my parents who were just so good to me and took care of me. But anyway, shout out to my brother Greg. What's up, Greg? How you doing? Hey, guys, I got an album coming out too. And so it's called Marston Street. And to all my brothers in Philadelphia, hey, that's our street, right? So Marston Street will be coming out this year. So look for it. Hopefully in the next 2 months it'll be dropping. I know the single is supposed to be coming out soon. We'll be confirming that on Monday with the label. So, but we're really excited. And so look for it, okay? It's Wardell Potts Jr., Marston Street is the name of the album. And so come on. Marston Street is the street I grew up in Philadelphia. And so, and I have so many amazing memories. Greg texts me some stuff, some pictures and stuff, and information about the home that I grew up in. And I just got so emotional. I'm like, whoa, man, oh, man, you talking about, you know, touching my soul. I was just a little kid back in the 60s, and to see that house is just really blessed me. So anyway, guys, I love you. And I thank you so much. And, you know, I have a much more intimate relationship with you guys because I tell you all kind of stuff here about, you know, and you guys tell me all kind of stuff. So that's good because we are really blessing each other with our stories. Anyway, so we're going to keep going here. We're going to play some music. It's Throwback Thursday. Just do what you do. I'll be in the background playing some music for you and loving you through whatever it is that you're doing over there. All right. God bless you. And thank you again for tuning in. What's up, Julianne? How you doing? I hope you're back home and safe, sweetheart. I know it's a crazy snowstorm up there. And they got another crazy snowstorm coming into California, which is weird. It never happens like that. I was there for 40 years, and the weather is just done something really out there right now in the last couple of months. It's just really been weird. So, but we just, my kids and my grandkids are still out there. So much love to you guys, and stay warm. Take care of each other. All right, guys, let's get rolling in this, with this music here on Solar Records Radio. We love you and appreciate you on Solar Records Radio.
I only meant to love you. Didn't you know it, babe? Didn't you know it? Why couldn't you be content with the love I gave? Oh, yeah. I gave you my heart, but you wanted my mind. Oh, yeah. Your love scared me to death, girl. All it's a choking time, that's all it is. You can kill a man with a bottle of poison or knife. I know you can, better hurt him more to take his pride and run his life. All it's a shame, girl, whatever it is, girl. I surely hope you find, oh yeah. I tell you that hat don't fit my head. Oh, it's a choking kind. Oh yeah, it make me wanna. Oh yeah. Oh, Mr. Sam, when you fall in love again, for me, oh yeah. If you don't like a peach, walk on by the tree. That's what you better do, honey. Find what you want, girl. Keep it, treat it sweet and kind. Oh yeah. Oh, let it breathe. Oh, make it a choking kind.
Thank you.
That this is some music that we did for Janet Jackson. This is from her first album, and this one was produced by Foster Silvers and Leon, and we had a great time working on her first album. She was coming out. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out with us. We are going to have a great show today. We're just going to bless you with some great music. So thank you for joining us here on Soul Records Radio. It's your boy Wardell Pop.
reminisce to a bounce rock face, low fest to impress. Hey, pretty diamond, do you like the way I'm dressed? Cool, keep the faith and be my mate, cause all we need is feet. But promote the hustle cause it keeps me thin. No need to talk, Luke just walked in. I'm heating high five and a day's no split. With the yarn I trip to the dawn. Out comes the bodies following the one idea. It's clear, rattle to the roll. Hold back up the track, grab your roller skate, y'all. And let's zip on by. Zippity dude, I let's zip on by. Feed on the weed and we're feeling high. Sun is on thick and the cheese is rolling thick. Come on, it's no time to hide. Season is swift, spinning and winning. No hack attack, let me in. Feel on the bottom of wave, but it's okay. Ha, it's a Saturday. Now let's all get baked like Anita.
Watch Mr. Lawn, don't look at the Peter.
Feel on the farm, I'll feel on the...
Hey, watch that.
It's a Saturday.
Now is the time to act so cool tonight. Forget about the worries and you will be alright. It's Saturday, 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 it's Saturday. Saturday, it's Saturday, Saturday, it's Saturday.
Right there. Thank you for hooking that up for me, Wardell. De La Soul. Yes, De La Soul from the De La Soul is Dead album, 1991. One of my favorites, a roller skating jam named Saturdays. And of course, I am on the road. I am I'm on my job doing what I do, but I wanted to call in and hang out with you for a little bit, man. Of course, it is Thursday. So you know what that means? It means it is Throwback Thursday, Wardell's Afternoon Drive, I like to call it, Solar Records Radio, every Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m., man. And I want to get into De La Soul, but, man, do a recap. What did you play before De La Soul?
Okay, so before that, and by the way, he is doing an Afternoon Drive, listening to my Afternoon Drive show.
Yeah.
So that worked out perfectly.
He's got it. Yeah.
Rolls Royce we had in the house, Wishing on a Star. What a beautiful song. Haven't heard that one in a minute. And then prior to that, we started the block out with Summer Breeze. Man, that guitar solo in that song is thick. Woo, that brother can play. Oh,
Ernie is just on a different plateau, man, and you know, forget all of that, those clothes they used to wear in the 70s. You know, Ernie used to wear them tight clothes tie up his shirt in the top, and I'm like, oh, these are a little androgynous before, you know, we learned the word in the 80s, you know, with Prince, but you know, Stephanie had some androgynous moments with some of that wardrobe. But shout out to Ernie, man. You can't take away his talent. And the brother dressed. Don't get me wrong. They all dressed, especially O'Kelly from the O'Kelly Isley. They used to have the pimp hats and everything. So shout out to the Isley Brothers, classic Isley Brothers from 1972, if I'm not mistaken. Summer Breeze. I love that, man. Again, thank you guys for tuning in. And again, I am, if you guys hear any noise in the background, I apologize, but I wanted to call in. And De La Soul, man, I hooked that De La Soul for a reason. Of course, for all you hip-hop heads out there that's listening, of course, we lost about 2-3 weeks ago, we lost Plug 2 at Dave Collier, of course, a.k.a. True Boy the Dove, Plug 2. From De La Soul, he passed away, and definitely his music will live on with, of course, Plug 1, Pops News, and DJ Mace, Plug 3. But anyway, again, yeah, rest in peace. And, of course, they did a tribute to them in New York about a week ago, and it was just amazing. It's on YouTube. Check it out. I mean, it was a beautiful kind of a celebration. But also, I wanted to remind you that on, I want to say, the 2nd of this month, you can stream all of De La Soul's music and catalog as of March 2nd or March 3rd this month. I know you can. So shout out to them. Or was it March? It was earlier this month. But you can definitely stream their music and their whole catalog and just, man, just kind of have that nostalgic moment. I was a big De La Soul fan because, to me, at the time, they were out of the norm. You know, at that time, it was about, you know, gangster rap and this and this and this. And, you know, and sometimes it was about the reality rap, they call. But every now and then, you know, you had to have kind of an alternative to that, you know, kind of like a hippie. You know, they were kind of called the hip-hop hippies at the time. So I gravitated towards that, man, and their music was just amazing. I was 15. I bought three Feet High and Rising. I mean, Potholes in My Lawn, Me, Myself, and I, Three is the Magic Number, Say No Go, just an amazing album. Which kind of leads me to this kind of a spontaneous question, Wardell, and I'm going to put you on the spot. Your opinion, what do you think about, you know, back in the day, people used to buy albums and buy CDs and get whole albums and things like that. You know, and every now and then, you know, they had the single. You can buy a single on the cassette or whatever. It shows you how old I am. We're talking about cassettes. But I guess my question to you is, do you think the technology of the streaming music made the music industry better? Because to me, it only seems like now it's about singles and not really about whole albums. I could be wrong, but in your opinion, do you think it was better back then with them getting the whole album and experiencing the album instead of just getting streaming singles here and there? And I wanted to just ask that question. I hope I asked it right. Did you get the gist of what I was asking?
Yes. So
floor is yours.
My response to that is, you know, and obviously this is only my opinion. I only can speak for me and how I feel. I can't speak for a generation.
This is all you.
Right. So I'm speaking based on how I feel about what the question presents. And that is, my response to that is, I feel that the album experience is so much better than this single experience, because you got to remember this. There have been singles that have been released that people didn't like, but they loved the album.
Right.
And so the artist's actually career took off because of their album and not because of the single that was chosen for them. A single is one opportunity. An album is anywhere from 8 to 15 different opportunities for an artist. So to me, it's not just better for the artist, it's better for the record company as well, and the listeners, the people that are buying
it. Boost their tours.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you know, and then when you go to see them, you get to experience that whole album experience live on top of it. And you know, and back in the day, you know, when you got an album, you got, like, you know, other things that came with it. You know, you got stories, you got posters in some of them. You got, like all kind of different pictures. There was more opportunity to express who you are and what you're about. And which gave the listeners more to learn about you. And that opportunity, you know, once it's out there, there it is. And so if you're just putting a single out, then that's all you get. It's almost like it's almost like going to a restaurant and getting a one plate. It's just, you know, one thing, you know, some grits. But if you had the whole thing, the whole thing. You get the grits, the bacon, the eggs, the toast. You get the whole experience of that place all in one plate. And that's what albums, to me, do. They give you the whole experience. And so with that being said, I had the opportunity. The record label just asked me, do you want us to just put out singles, or do you want to just put out singles, or do you want to put out an album? And I said, well, you know, I know the single thing is what's happening now, but I would prefer to do an album. And so they said, sure, then come on, we'll do an album with you. And I was like, yes. So I'm about to release an album, but first I'm going to release a single, and then 30 days later, the whole album comes. The single is like an introduction, you know, hey, this is something new that's coming out by the artist. And it's kind of like setting people up. It's a promotional piece as well, because it's like you get an idea of who this artist is, and then all of a sudden you, like, if you like that, then you're running to see what else that person has, right? You can't wait, and so that opportunity really is a blessing to the record company, because when people can't wait, they buy, they do early ordering, they do whatever they can, they hurry up and get their hands on it, which really blesses everybody. So, to me, the album is the way to go. The single thing, I mean, I understand why they did that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's only 99 cents. It's just so cheap and easy to get to it. You hear something on the radio, you want to hear it over and over and over and over. Okay, but that gets old after a while. After hearing it about 15 times, you have heard it enough. But if you have an album, you could just, you know, like, you, what's the term you say? You say press and play. What's that term you use about
a press play album?
Yeah, you just put the needle on and it's on. It let it go.
Let me tell you a quick story. And people are going to get tired of hearing me talk about New Edition, and because I'm, you know, of course, I grew up, you know, they were, you know, about 5-6 years older than myself, but at the same time, they were teenagers when I was, you know, I was 9 when the Candy Girl album came out. But anyway, fast forward to around 88. If you guys remember, New Edition and Bobby Brown's album, Don't Be Cruel, if you guys remember, it came out the same day, I think June 12th, 1988. Crazy I remember that date, because I bought both tapes with my own money. Tape. Now, here, you heard I said tape.
That's his financial.
But here's the thing.
Right there.
The singles to me, and again, and I guess it goes back to the accessibility, because now it's about the internet. You can pretty much, you know, pull it up in the internet and it's right there. Back then, we had to wait for like the video shows, and we had to, you know, look at it in a monthly edition of Right On Magazine or Tiger Beat or whatever, Ebony Jet, whatever. So the accessibility was limited. So, but we were able to see, you know, the world premiere of Bobby Brown's video, Don't Be Cool. Oh, okay. When is the album coming out? New Edition's, I think, world premiere video, If It Isn't Love. Oh, when New Edition's album coming out? So we were anticipating, at least I was, anticipating the whole album to come out because of those one single, you know, and that was the beauty of you know, being a kid at the time and being a teenager and loving the music that I loved and growing up around music. And it was about, to me, it was about the single that was being, the single to me made the anticipation for the album. And it was just rather up to you. The album disappointed. You loved that album, or you were disappointed in that album, even though you loved the single. But I was just blessed to love both albums. And all, you know, it was a press play album. Heartbreak was a press play album. And Don't Be Cruel was definitely a press play album. Hell, the album sold over 12 million copies worldwide. So it was a damn good album, excuse my language. So to me, it was the single pushed the anticipation on the album. Now, to me, in my opinion, I feel that I don't know if that enthusiasm for kids today, and I mean, of course, I'm not a kid, so I'm not going to be in their head, But you know, you can kind of look at it with the record sales and whatnot, because of, you know, like the ringtones and the streaming music, things like that. It seems like no one is as enthused anticipating the album anymore, you know, because it's about singles. You know, so again, I could be wrong. I may be wrong. But, you know, yeah. I just want to expound on it a little bit and give you a quick anecdote on my life about it.
Yeah, well, there's no wrong. I mean, that's your feelings. That's your feelings. You know, and that's what you feel. And everybody has are allowed to express their feelings about whatever it is, you know. So I'm grateful to hear your side and how you feel about that. And, you know, I remember, you know, just, you know, hearing we worked with New Edition. They were in our studio after they left the situation up in Boston, which was really bad for them. They ended up coming to MCA Records and with
yeah.
Gerald Buzz.
Gerald Busby.
Yeah, and rest in peace, Gerald. Yeah, Lil Solis, mm-hmm. rest in peace for both of them brothers. Wow, it's crazy. And
yeah,
so,
both of them passed away.
I know, we have to be grateful every day, my brothers and sisters around the world, that, you know, every day is a gift and it's a blessing for us to be here. But anyway, yes, that's a great question, and I think we should talk about that tonight on your show as well, because I'm being pushed to talk about my record, and so I will talk about my record, guys. I will post something just to, you know, to kind of guide you guys along the way if you want to get it. I'm going to have different. It's Wardell Potts Jr. and Friends. That because obviously I'm not a singer. Well, some people think I'm not a singer, like Eddie Murphy in the background. You know, I think I'm a singer. You don't think I was singing. But, you know, I didn't know Eddie Murphy was singing. Remember Eddie put that song out? Remember Eddie Murphy put the song out? Oh, that was something else. I was like, whoa, look at Eddie go.
Oh, the one where he was stranded in Buffalo in the snow for 2 weeks and recording in Rick James 3. I heard those stories, man. They're great stories. And you can't get those stories anymore when you can't really get those type of stories anymore when you're talking about making an album or going through the grind of you know, and of course you expound on it yourself every Friday discussing the legacy of Solar. So these are great stories. You just don't really have it, and I'm sure there are, don't get me wrong, but you don't really just have those stories now. You know, I thank God for, you know, shows like Unsung that kind of, you know, dissects, you know the ladies, you know, Guy and you know, Freddie Jackson and all of the artists, Climax and Lakeside, and, you know, and I think they did, of course, they did that, they did a show profile in Solar Records as a whole, which, you know, they should have talked about Dynasty, but that's just my opinion. But, you know, it's a lot of great outlets, or I usually like that as a great outlet to kind of get people to go down that rabbit hole and just look for good music. And you know, what I told you before, I guess, and I hate to use the word trend because it just seems like it's so, it's phony. But I guess the trend in the context of the conversation, I think when you say it's trendy now because a lot of kids on YouTube are looking at music videos and listening to music from back in the day that weren't even thought about being born. Hell, in some cases, the parents weren't born. You know, so they're listening to a lot of great music from back in the day, and they profile and like, hey, this is nice. This is, you know, and so I anticipate looking at some of their music, their YouTube reactions and stuff. And that, again, that's the beauty of great music that withstands the test of time. But again, we can talk about that tonight, man. And I don't want to flood your show. And whatnot.
Oh,
but
no.
It's
good talk. We got the thoughts about singles are stronger because they have the added strength of the video, and then the question was, but can the video become bigger than the song? What are your thoughts about that? You know, because that is true. the single does have a video, whereas the album doesn't.
I mean, you think about the perfect example is Michael Jackson. You know, Michael Jackson's Thriller album. I think, you know, the controversy behind MTV not playing, you know, black artists, especially Michael Jackson at the time, I think that anticipation, you know, play Billie Jean. And when Billie Jean came out, I mean, it was kind of a worldwide thing. A lot of people were scared to say, hey, we didn't really want Middle America getting obsessed with this music. But, hey, Middle America was loving the music all the same. And contrary to popular belief, there are black people in Middle America, because Middle America, to me, was a code word for white people. So I think the way Thriller took off the way he did in the age of MTV, I felt like Off the Wall probably would have done just the same, even if it would have came out around the time MTV, because if you remember, Off the Wall came out 2 years before MTV. So, and it was a great album. A lot of people may put that album better than Thriller. But again, when you talk about, just to answer your question, and I didn't want to just kind of get historical, sometimes I get in my mode, but just to answer your question, I think Michael Jackson is a perfect example of that when it comes to the video revolutionizing and growing into anticipation for the album. So that's a perfect example. And then when the video Thriller came out, oh, that was just that was just an extra few million copies sold after that, because it was a big budget music video. So you start to get into the revolution the revolutionizing of the music video, the high budget music video. MC Hammer did it later on. Of course, Michael Jackson did it with Bad and whatnot. So a lot of those, a lot of the music videos, especially the big budget music videos, you know, a lot of people took a gamble on it. And it's, in a lot of cases, or the cases that I can, you know, point out, a lot of those albums were very successful because of those big budget music videos. Like I said, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him. And, when his album came out, you know, those big budget, Too Legit to Quit, I'm sorry, that album, that budget, I think he paid, it was $5 million budget for that music video. So, I mean, it was just one of those things, man, that the music video, to me, galvanized that urgency and anticipation for the album, and pretty much placated the album sales.
Okay. All right. Boy, oh boy, you really got it going on today, my brother. You got the gift, the gab. What a blessing. And,
oh,
you know,
God.
It's okay.
You're doing you on the road. You're on the road looking at the road in front of you.
Yep. And so when we come back, I'm going to take a little music break. But if you got time, I want to know just the question I'm going to give you now. Can the theatrics play a bigger part than the music? So when we come back, I want you to share that. All right. We'll be right back.
All right.
You try to scream, but Sarah takes the sound before you make it. You start to breathe. Fighting for your life inside.
it have you? Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell.
When I hear that, it's so many elements.
But. I love that song. The laugh at the end.
So what do you think about the question? Is the theatrics something that kind of takes over? Let me see. I forgot what the question, how I rephrased the question. I got to get the question back up here.
Yeah.
Let me see. Is it, can a theatrics play
all the listeners
bigger
who just,
part?
All
play
the listeners
a bigger
who
part?
Just tuning in, so.
Who?
I was just what saying for all the listeners who's just tuning in, go ahead and re-ask that question.
Okay, so can the theatrics, you know, of a music video play a bigger part than the music?
I mean, again, I think that's more subjective. I think it depends. When you talk about, again, is that word again, that album again, that video again, Thriller, the song you just played, the theatrics of that movie, the fact that, you know, they had the dance sequence. I mean, it was just one of those things that, you know, yeah, you had me at Michael Jackson Thriller. You had me at Billie Jean, but I think, you know, to convince other people to buy the album, because you got to remember, even back then, people were buying three or four albums of the same album at a time. People were buying three copies of Thriller for their family members. So it wasn't that, oh, I'm just going to go to the store and get one. So this was just something that, you know, hey, what was that commercial back in the day? It was like, no, my brother, you got to get your own. So it was just one of those things. But as far as the music video, the theatrics of the music video, I think that goes into the whole, you know, even with women and I guess men too, I guess the sex appeal of the artist and, you know, all of these things, you know, sometimes it doesn't need all of the bells. Sometimes it doesn't need all of the bells and whistles, because again, you had them at your music and the quality of the music. With Michael Jackson, it was the fact that, you know, being with the Jackson 5 12 years earlier, you know, with you know, of course, their debut album kind of, you know, made people kind of gravitate to, hey, these kids are all right, you know. And then, of course, when Michael went solo, or when the Jackson 5 changed their name to the Jacksons, I think people had that fan base was there now, and they just grew up with them. And everyone, once we got older, it was one of those things like, oh, Michael got an album coming out. Let's check it out and see, you know, if there's some maturity in the album. Like, I'm having some maturity in my life. So sometimes, again, it's the theatrics help. But, you know, in the case of Michael Jackson, I didn't think it needed it. But it sure as hell helped him. You know, I think what that album sold, Thriller sold, what, 52 million copies? So something like that. Almost 50 million, or after a little over 50 million. But it was just the fact that, yeah, the Thriller, the dance sequence of the, you know, his dance moves, the way it was kind of like a mini movie, you know, those things were phenomenal to kids in the 80s, man, and adults too. So the theatrics of it, that was the theatric in itself when it came to, you know, who he was and how he wanted to kind of not distance himself from his brothers, but kind of draw his own path. And I think he did it. He busted down the door and did what he did. And then his little sister did it too. So everyone knew her, you know, of course, from Good Times and, you know, from the variety show when she was, you know, a real little girl. So when Janet, you know, when Janet came out with, I guess the Control video, you know, was something that you know, kind of put her in the stratosphere. You know, the album itself, the fact that Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, you know, produced that album, you know, compared to her albums before with, you know, the Dream Street album and, you know, her debut album in 82 with Say You Do, and the songs that you worked with her, I worked on that album too, if I'm not mistaken. So they just didn't have really music videos for it. So,
right.
I think, okay, you know, it helps. Sometimes it helps. Sometimes it doesn't make a difference. But the fact that it's reaching people in the masses, maybe to get more of a pop demographic, maybe. But I mean, for you and I, you know, people like you and myself, it's just like, hey, you had me at the Jackson 5. You know,
was there ever a song that you heard that you didn't really like, but when the video came out, you like all of a sudden you liked it, like the opposite effect?
Oh God, that's a good question, man. That is a real good question. There's a few. I know there was a few that was just like, I don't know about this. I don't know about the song. It may have to grow on me. you know, and then you saw the video and it was just like, oh, okay, this dude can dance. This you know, this young lady can dance. She can just, you know, I think it was a few artists like that. I don't want to get into who exactly, you know, because I don't want to, you know, but there were a couple. Sometimes the feeling ain't there when you just listen to the song, so you have to kind of, you know, watch the video and be like, oh, okay. Now, as materialistic as that may sound, I think, you know, sometimes that may motivate a person to be like, hey, let me give this song a second thought, at least giving it a second thought.
Right. Well, you know, sometimes the person is just good looking and you just like looking at them. Whether it's a guy or a girl, you're like, Lord have mercy, play that again. All of a sudden, you're liking the song. Just, you don't even know why you like the song. You just like, oh, I got to hear it again. You know, and it's just, it is what it is. I mean, we get attracted to things. And for multiple reasons. And so, like, you know, maybe sonically it wasn't doing anything for us, but visually it did. It captured us. And therefore, you know, so I think that, you know, videos do play a really good role. I'd say we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't. It doesn't matter to me. A good song, so when we start with the basics of just having a good song, I mean, that's the bottom
right.
line, right? You know, so is it a good song to you or is it not a good song?
Right.
And then if you need a little bit of, you know, visual put on it to help it along the way, you know, it still may only be okay, but there's something about the visual. It might not even be the artist. It could be the background singers or the background dancers or, you know, it could be, you know, just the video itself. Like, wow, I love that location. It's beautiful. This whole video is put together great, but the song still sucks, right? And so, and I'm quite sure I've done some of those songs that kind of sucked, but the video was good, and you know. But it's just when you're out there, like, you know, you're out there doing this stuff, and when you're out there just listening, you have so many things to compare it to. And then when you're out there writing, you know, you're just a victim of, you know, whether your work is good or it's not. Because sometimes people will hear my stuff and go, oh, I like that. And I go, you like that? I don't even like that. I don't even like that one. You know, or I might like something that someone else don't like it. So different strokes for different folks. I'm glad we had the opportunity to be able to say, you know, whether we like videos or not. We have videos. Let's enjoy it for what it is. You know, I don't want to take it away. Take anything away from videos. Videos have really blessed the industry, and so good for the group. Yes, it really has. Yep, that's right. Well, anyway, guys, we are about another 46 minutes left in the show, and so next song I'm going to play, I'm going to dedicate. This is Don's song, so I know he liked this song, so I'm going to play that for him. Have a blessed day, Don. I know you got to roll, but man, much love to you. Thanks for, you know, chiming in and sharing your thoughts. And tell us a little bit about your show tonight.
Man, just tune in tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I got another layer of another edition of Throwback Thursday Night, of course, with yours truly and Wardell Potts. Again, you never know who's going to call in and hang out with me. So make sure you tune in.
Yeah, Thursday night, Throwback Thursday night version. Oh, boy. All right, guys. Well, thank you. Because he used to play some sexy music. Watch out. Ooh, it started to get real comfortable there. Guys, you take care. Don, you take care. And no, not you guys. Y'all hanging with me. Don's the one leaving. Here we go. This is dedicated to my buddy Don for coming on and blessing us. And we'll be back after this block on Solar Records Radio. See you, Don.
Would someone please hang that phone up?
Boom, boom,
ba-da-da. If you ever see the boy from me, tell him I love him. Tell him I care. If he ever leaves me, tell him I love him. It happens. Oh,
you feel, man, man. And I was young back in Philly, just at that teenage age, and just, man, and busy. And I think I was that like 19 or 20? I don't know. But I was right around the time that I came to California. I know that. So right before then. Anyway, guys, so I want to just chop it up a little bit. Don't forget, I have that record coming out. Wow. Speaking of albums and singles. And so I do have an album coming out, and it's called Marston Street. I named it after my childhood street that I grew up on as a little boy back in the 60s. And it was, the street is so tiny. When I looked at the picture of the street, I go, Lord, look how little that street is. And so then Greg went and found pictures of the inside of my house. I was saying, what the crap? And so, and just looking at those pictures, I got so emotional. But it's something else, because, you know, that's my, that was where my dad was, and he's gone now. And so that was something he picked out. And, you know, our first house, well, that was our second, because we lived on, can you believe we lived on two Marston Streets? I'm like, are you in love with Marston Street? And so, but I wasn't born. I wasn't born yet. And then my mom got pregnant while we were on that street, and then they had me, and then they moved to the other Marston Street. And then I grew up on the other Marston Street. And then, you know, they kept doing what they were doing. And I went and grew up and moved away to, went to college, and then went to California, and never looked back, went back to Philly to live. You know, strange, because I lived in California longer than I lived in Philadelphia. And that's strange. So just looking at those pictures, and it's just very emotional for me. But so that's why I wanted to honor my neighborhood, my friends, people I grew up with, by naming the album after our street that we grew up on. It was an amazing group of friends, and, you know, I've lost some of them along the way, and it's just really sad that they're gone. But, you know, that's life, and that's what happens, right? And so we all will someday be gone. And so let's try to do the right thing and then enjoy life, be a blessing to others and to ourselves, take care of ourselves, try to be healthy, and try to do the right thing, even though sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. Try harder to do the right thing. And just always challenge yourself to be better, right? Just, you know, think, I can be better. I can do better. I will be better, and I will do better. And just go for it. So anyway, with that being said, I want to just share a little bit about the history of Philadelphia's music, well, about Gamble and Huff's history. So take a listen on Solar.
People always looking for a message, something, you know, we always said something that people, besides liking the dance to it, there was always something that they would like to hear.
There would never have been the sound of Philadelphia if it weren't for these two men whose hits with the OJs, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, Billy Paul, and others, to find one of the great sounds of the 70s, Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff.
Billy in the house!
When Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff first met in the early 60s, neither knew they would together define the sound of a city. With thousands of songs to their credit, they've earned Grammy Awards and hundreds of gold and platinum records. It's said that a Gamble and Huff song is played every 14 minutes somewhere around the world.
You've been so sweet. Let's get closer.
genuine, a message that's always been here. What I'm saying is nothing new. Sometimes repetition, you need repetition in order to sink a message in. And the love and respect and understanding and dignity that I'm talking about is nothing new. It's something that everybody wants. At the Shoe Building, which is now the Marion Theater, and we met on the elevator.
Little did we know when we first met in that elevator at the Shoe Building on Broad Street, when I said, how you doing? My name's Kenny. He said, hey, my name's Howard. I said, you write songs? I said, yeah, I write songs too. I write lyrics. He said, I play the piano. I said, well, let's get together.
And him and Jerry Ross wrote a song called 81, and they wanted a certain feel that they wanted on this particular song, which was really dance type of feel. So I could play that type of feel that they wanted, and that session was successful. So me and Gamble met with success.
We connected like magnets, a chemistry that I really can't explain, but I know that when I met Gamble, it changed my entire life. We used to say, Lord, if you bless me to get one hit, I'll be so grateful. Then after we got the first hit, we said, Lord,
Gamble and Huff created a sound and musical vision that sent messages of love, empowerment, ain't no stopping us now, pride, strength, and the beauty of life through their lyrics and musical composition.
There's been so many things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know.
Hold on, we'll be together soon, real soon.
Hey, mama, change away my trouble.
I thank God that I had a vehicle to release all that music that Gamble and I had in each other at that time.
Bring up everybody!
So guys, you know, I grew up with that. That's where I'm from. That is my home. That is my love. And so I grew up with that, all that music from Philadelphia, and it was absolutely amazing. It was a beautiful opportunity for me as a young man to have inherited that sound. And it was just a part of who I am as a human being. And I remember, you know, when I was in, when I left and went to California and auditioned, I'm taking all the stuff that I got from Philly with me. And I'm taking it in hopes that I could be a blessing to the sound of Los Angeles. And as God would have it, I end up becoming the drummer for that particular label. And doing this recording, I recorded so many songs, I have no idea how many songs I record. I have no clue. But it was just because every day we were in the studio recording. Every day Leon was obsessed. He was a studio rat, and we were always in the studio. But many, many times, you know, it was really great for me to be able to establish myself in a whole another city on the other side of the country, and creating a new sound. But everything that was in me that helped me to create that new sound came from Philadelphia. And so it's just mind-boggling, and I feel so blessed because of it, and I'm so grateful because of what those guys did for me over at Philly International, and all the artists and the musicians out of Philly that really participated. Because, you know, you got all these young guys like me trying to figure out what kind of musician I'm going to be, what am I going to do, and just trying to perfect your art. And we all coming together, jamming out in the street, in the parks, everywhere, wherever we could play, we would play. And we had, you know, those artists that you just heard, they were it's our inspiration, right? And Motown stuff. And so it was just everywhere. We were just so excited. And so I just take my hat off to all those people for really, really helping to mold me into being the musician that I am. Because there was so much competition. Lord, you had to practice. I remember going to see a girl, and when I was sitting there talking to her, I heard a drummer practicing. Cornell Rochester was his name, and I heard him practicing, and I told her, I got to go. And she's like, what? Well, I got to go home. I got to practice, because this guy is practicing. He's like getting a head start. You know, I just felt I needed to practice too. If he's practicing, I need to practice. I can't let him, you know, blow me away like that. And we still talk to this day. So God bless you guys, man. God bless Philadelphia and all my friends, and God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Soul Art Records Radio and hanging out with us. Don't forget to tune in to Don Fleming tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as he do Throwback Thursday night here on Soul Art Records Radio. So with that being said, we're going to play a few more songs, and I'm going to start it off with some of the Philly stuff. So thank you guys again. Thanks, Greg. Thanks to all of our listeners and everybody. Thanks, Don, for calling in. Much love to you. And to all my friends, people around the world, I love all you guys very much. And don't forget, tomorrow we're going to celebrate the sound of Los Angeles, the Whispers. I got this beautiful picture of them right in front of me, all five of them. As a matter of fact, someone told me the other night, I think it was last night, my friend said, hey, went to see the Whispers, and only two of them showed up. I said, only two showed up. That sounds so funny. So yeah, it was only two singers. It was just the twins. And I go, well, you know, we lost two, and then Lavelle wasn't feeling good, and the show must go on. And so they said, yeah, that was just really something else. And I said, but, you know, the difference between the Whispers and most groups is that the Whispers don't, like, if they lose someone, they pass away or something, they won't put someone else in that spot. They leave it vacant. And so when the last one is gone, then that's when the lights go out on that group. It'll be done, finished. And so anyway, God bless you guys, and take care. And don't forget 3 p.m. tomorrow, Eastern Standard Time, that show, when we talk about solar, what I was just talking to you about. All right. Good night. God bless you guys. And we'll talk soon. Thank you. Much love.
shared precious moments? Will I have to wait forever? Will I have to suffer and cry the whole night? When will I see you? Thank you.
the hate.